The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Nooshigak drifters leaving the docks, getting back on the water, a little bit of a Port Moeller mystery. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for June 26th. I'm Molly Dishner. Today, we hear what fishermen in the Nooshigak have been doing while they wait to get back to fishing, including the crew of the fishing vessel Lucky Bear.
Hurry up and wait. Play crib, cards, that's it.
Area manager Paul Solomon tells us what's happening in Ugashik.
Just based on the morning counts, there's a few fish there, and we kind of had some idea that there were little dribs and drabs moving through. So I wouldn't say that's unusual. Their first count will probably be in a kind of a normal range, their first daily count, based on what I saw this morning.
Plus, we'll get a Gnome Author's take on small boat fisheries around Alaska. But first, grab a pen. It's time to run through the numbers. The Bristol Bay total run through Saturday, 1.6 million fish. Total catch yesterday, 115,000, bringing the total to just shy of a million. Total escapement from all rivers counting, 69,000. Let's go through Saturday's catch and escapement by district. Ugashik District catch confidential because of processing, but season total is up a little, 104,660. Ugashik Tower is in. You'll get a full day count tomorrow. Igigik, 78,000 fish caught yesterday. Season total, 368,552. Igigik River Escapement, 9,800 yesterday. Season total, 254,000. Naknak-Quijack, no nets in the water yesterday. Season total stands at 22,000. Naknak River Count, 12,400. Season total, 50,700. Quijack River Count, 1,700. Season total, 7,800. Nooshigak District catch yesterday, 37,000 fish. Season total, 477,000. And at the Nooshigak Sonar, 4,200 kings counted Saturday. Season total, 85,000. 23,000 reds counted there yesterday. Season total, 172,000. And at the Wood River, 20,000 reds counted yesterday, 185,000 since counting began. Igushik Tower, almost 2,000 reds yesterday. Season total, 6,800. Togiak season total is at 5,300. Counting hasn't started yet. Registrations as of this morning. Ugashik, 202 permits, 154 boats. Igigik, 380 permits on 299 boats. Naknak-Quijack, 299 permits on 256 boats. Nooshigak, 490 permits on 376 boats. Togiak, 28 permits, 28 boats. Grand total this morning, 1,399 permits fishing on 1,113 boats. That's the daily run summary for Bristol Bay. Now a look at Port Moeller. Our broadcast today a little too early to get you today's update, but we do have catch information from yesterday. Stations 2, 4, and 6 posted the best catches with daily indexes of 35 at Station 2, 82 at Station 4, and 120 at Station 6. For each of those stations, those are the best daily indexes we've seen so far this season. Catches, however, dropped off dramatically at stations 8 through 12. Does that all mean? In an email last night, Scott Rayburn says, "Today's catch pattern across the test fishing transect and the stock composition estimates for June 21st through 22nd are somewhat perplexing. We are still working at deciphering this information." More of an update expected by tomorrow. And for Area M, yesterday was another good one for pinks, 386,000, bringing the season total to 1.8 million. Reds there yesterday, 61,000, season total almost 1.2 mil. And we're done. Those are the numbers. Back in a moment.
Hey, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. So, why invest in a chilling system for your boat? Simple economics. Chilled fish get a higher price and a better payday at the end of the season. Some think it still isn't worth it, but think again. Consumers want quality. Processors demand it. Is your boat ready? Our future is chilling. Call 439-3566 for more information. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
For some, Sunday is a day of rest. Judging by the bleary eyes at the Dillingham Harbor this morning, much of the Nooshigak Drift Fleet could have used a little more rest or a little more caffeine. When's that coffee shop opening up at the harbor? But Fish and Game says nets can go back out in the water soon, so we caught a couple of folks getting ready to head out. Rested or not. On board the fishing vessel Recovery, crewman Will Samp says it's definitely time to get back on the water.
Sounds like the fish are coming, so the peak could hit any time now. We sat in the harbor for the last opener. We went out for the first couple, but we've been sitting for the last couple days. So.
How have you guys been passing time?
Playing a lot of cribbage, finishing up last-minute projects on the boat, and just kind of hanging out.
Cribbage apparently has been a popular pastime this week. Crewing for his uncle on the fishing vessel Lucky Bear, Dennis Andrew says they've been playing too, and getting their boat ready.
We were in here for a couple of days. We had RSW problems. Now we got it all fixed. I'm hoping to do good and catch lots of fish real fast. Get the hell out of here.
And how do they pass the time over on the Susquehanna? Kaliganik's Nick Johnson is the captain of that boat.
Passing time, just checking out the boat and just waiting for an opener.
After a long wait, it's going to be good to get out there and try it out.
We can't make it to every dock, but we want to hear what's happening around the bay. Drop us a line, dave@kdlg.org, molly@kdlg.org, or fish@kdlg.org, or call us at the station, 907-842-5281. Nooshigak isn't the only place where things picked back up today. The Ugashik Tower is in and counting fish, says manager Paul Solomon.
Just based on the morning counts, there's a few fish there, and we kind of had some idea that there were little dribs and drabs moving through. So I wouldn't say that's unusual. Their first count will probably be in a kind of a normal range, their first daily count, based on what I saw this morning.
Solomon says he expects to see more fish counted in the days to come.
There were some fish that began to move into the district on Friday. We're beginning to detect them at the in-river project as of about 2 hours ago. Their second set of drifts produced reasonable numbers, not huge, but enough to show that there are some fish passing into the river. So with about a two-day travel time from the district to the in-river project, I expect those to carry on for another day or two, and there should be some decent passage in the river by the end of today, and then we'll see where that gets us.
As for that Port Moeller data, Solomon says something looks like it's on its way, but only time will tell exactly what's going to happen with the run this season. That's Fish. This is the Bristol Bay Fish Report, back in a moment.
Support comes from Crowley. Fueling Alaska for more than 60 years, Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
As many fish as return to the bay each summer, there are that many, give or take, words written about fishing. From Ernest Hemingway, think Old Man and the Sea. You did not kill the fish only to keep alive and to sell for food, he thought. You killed for pride and because you are a fisherman. You loved him when he was alive and you loved him after. If you love him, it is not a sin to kill him, or is it more? To David Montgomery, think King of Fish. I heard the fish before I saw them. And then I saw them everywhere, splashing up the shallow stream, hanging out in pools, milling about, spawning, carving into the gravel stream bed with their tails. Dead, rotting fish, too, draped like old shirts hung out on whatever snagged them as they swum upstream. It is striking to see so many fish in a river. And plenty of others. So on this program, we're going to take a look each week at some fishlet, fiction, nonfiction, essays, maybe even poetry. If it features fish, it's fair game. Today we'll start with nonfiction, a book out this year by a Nome resident and longtime fisherman. Rough Waters, our North Pacific small fisherman's battle, started as a project in family history.
My family background goes back into history. So far we don't know. My grandfather on my father's side was fishing off the Lofoten Islands in Norway, so who knows how long they were doing that. I have two sons now that are still commercial fishing, and one that's very much into subsistence fishing.
That's author Nancy Danielson Mendenhall, a former Southeast Alaska troller and a current subsistence fisherman in the Nome area. She's also something of a historian. Mendenhall says letters once provided families with a written history to pass through the generations. She herself used them and other sources to write a book about farming. But then she began to notice that there aren't so many letters being written anymore.
And I thought, how will the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, know what their fathers and mothers did unless somebody writes it down for them, because it's going to be lost. And so I thought, well, I'm going to interview my sons and other relatives that fished.
As the conversations began, the project grew beyond her own family story. Mendenhall says that as she talked to more than a dozen fishermen and others involved in fisheries, she heard about the same problems plaguing them in many different places. Climate change, one of the biggest, she says. Consolidation in favor of large-scale operations, another major challenge.
The fishing quotas that were created by IFQ became very valuable, and so there was a big market in them, and it was an open market, and people with a lot of money were able to buy up those quotas, and the fishing quotas began to leave the small communities. Now, 15 years later, 20 years later, people are completely worried about what's happening to the younger fishermen. Why are fewer younger fishermen going into fishing? Well, because they don't have the money to buy those quotas.
For each concern, she heard the same message about what they mean for small fishermen.
They have much more at risk, and so when problems come along, it always is going to affect the small fishermen the most. They always have the most at risk, and it especially affects the small communities they support.
But her research also brought to light a variety of ideas that can help communities. And Mendenhall says she supports the idea of community-supported fisheries. She also supports the idea of community permit banks.
I think that's an excellent idea. That if they have communities that own permits, own quota, then the boats don't leave, the permits don't leave, the quota doesn't leave, and the communities can try to rebuild the ones that have lost the most. It's too bad that it wasn't done that way in the first place.
Those are some newer ideas. Mendenhall says a program already in place has also helped. Alaska's Community Development Quota Program gave nonprofits like Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation and Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation fishing quota in federal fisheries in an effort to help protect Bering Sea coastal communities.
The only place where a small fisherman on this coast has a chance, a younger fisherman without a lot of money, without a lot of backing, has a chance to get into a fishery would be through the CDQ. I know it's a controversial program, and I don't agree with everything they do, but it's the only place on this coast, really, that I see that small fishermen do still have a chance. And, of course, the controversial side of it is that the way the CDQs were set up was their first money came from royalties in the industrialized fleets, which are very much in conflict with small fishing. An industrialized fleet is just the opposite. There's an irony there in the CDQs that can't be gotten rid of. It's there.
In Norton Sound, Mendenhall says the local CDQ has helped make a small red king crab fishery viable, along with some other smaller endeavors. Mendenhall says her research also took her to discover that the same issues have played out in other regions and even other industries like farming already.
If you look at what's happened worldwide, and I do that quite a bit in the book, in every single part of the world, small fishing is in danger. And it's only where they have seen the dangers and has stopped some of that movement, like Iceland has put in some regulations recently in the last few years that keep quota in the community.
And just one caveat to all that, Mendenhall says she knows some state-managed small boat salmon fisheries like Bristol Bay are mostly in a different position. And those other countries that have made some changes seem to be doing all right. That's all good news, she says. Back in a moment. Couple messages from the fleet today. One person emailed in to reach Walt. Walt, your buddy wanted to send a hi from the east to Walt out in the bay. He says that comes from the family. Joanne Delcati, your family also wants to reach you. They're hoping to get the little one out tomorrow. Call Lois at home, please. Stacy also chimes in to say, hope you're having fun. If you have a message for a fisherman or other feedback, song requests, story ideas, please get in touch. Fish, Dave, or Molly at kdlg.org. In other fish news, a fish in Missouri got a prosthetic eye recently. It was being bullied by others in its tank, presumably because it didn't have an eye. Now the prosthetic is supposed to help with that. Vietnam still doesn't really know, or maybe just isn't saying, what killed off hundreds of tons of fish along the coast there. Forbes reports that a steel mill operated by the Formosa Plastics groups in the Ha Thin province, where the fish first started washing ashore, has been fingered as the likely culprit. The government says it'll be a couple more weeks before an official word is out. In sports news, Mariners playing the Cardinals this afternoon, and Mariners were up 3-1 at the bottom of the third. Who knows what the rest of the game will bring? Other scores: Twins beat Yankees, Indians beat Tigers, Reds beat Padres, Orioles beat Rays, and the White Sox beat the Blue Jays. That's just about it for today's show. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay: tonight, west wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tomorrow, southwest wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, and some patchy fog. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef tonight, variable wind at 10 knots, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, variable wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, more patchy fog. Catch our replays at 6:30, 10, and 2 a.m. and find our shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.